You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, our theme this year has been creating a place. We're creating a place for the life that God has for us to be able to happen. We're creating a place for the presence of the Lord, not to just occasionally visit in maybe a high spiritual time, but we're creating a place for the presence of the Lord to dwell in our homes, in our families, in our lives. We're creating a place for God's Word to be the guiding force in our life. We're creating a place where peace and joy can live in our homes. We've been talking about this all year. We've been talking about the fact that there simply can't be peace in the home where there's a lot of drama in the home. You just got too much drama for peace to be there. Well, peace can't be in the home where we got a bunch of fussing and yelling. You got to stop all this fussing, all this yelling in the home, all these threats. Well, I'm going to leave. Stop. We got to stop all that. If we're going to have peace in our home, these things have got to go. This year, my mind is all on what's got to go so that peace can be here. What's got to go so that the presence of the Lord doesn't visit me occasionally, but dwell? Well, I can dwell in the presence of the Lord. What's got to go? Well, there's no way for you and I to live in joy when we are living disappointed. When we live this, you can't live a happy, blessed life when you live disappointed. There's no way to have the presence of the Lord in your day when you are disappointed in what you think he should have done, or you're disappointed in the way God handled or didn't handle this or that situation. The title of today's message is Refusing Disappointment. The dictionary gives us a definition. Disappoint is to fail to satisfy the expectations of. You're disappointed when your expectations have not been satisfied. Disappoint, to fail to satisfy your expectations. We're going to live disappointed when we expect things that were never going to happen to begin with. We live disappointed when we expect things that weren't God's plan at all. That never was his plan. That's not the direction God's going. When you expect that to happen, then you're disappointed. I want to talk for a little bit about refusing to live disappointed. Too many people are living with the wrong expectation of God. Too many people live blaming God, mad at God, when they are disappointed in God because he didn't do what they expected him to do. Anytime you're disappointed in God, you had the wrong expectation going into this. We've been talking on Wednesday nights in our study in Romans about man's sin nature. And it's only when you understand the sin nature of mankind, and you only understand that people are not perfect. They're not perfect. We live with an Adamic sin nature that has been passed down to us. And only when you understand that can you get to the place where you quit being disappointed in people. You're disappointed in people when you expect people to be perfect because they're not going to be. And when they're not perfect, then you're disappointed. The best thing that can happen for you is to understand your wife is not perfect. And she's going to do some things or say some things that are not perfect. Overall, I love my wife. I picked her. No one made me. I picked her. I chose her. Now, I'm just going to have to overlook some imperfections because she is not perfect all the time. Here's what I'm telling you. Your kids are not perfect. And they will, their whole life, disappoint you because you expect, well, I expected more. What are you expecting that for? Your kids are going to disappoint you. Let me just tell you something. Your kid's school teacher is going to disappoint you. They're not perfect. So if you're going to be able to refuse disappointment, understand, I got my kids in a Christian school where the teacher prays over them, loves them, and supports them, and I'm blessed. Is she perfect? No. Is there going to be mistakes made? Absolutely. My teacher's not perfect. Let me tell you, your plumber's not perfect. Your electrician's not perfect. Your mechanic is not perfect. Just last week, I had some hydraulic lines leaking on my tractor. And if you've never loaded a tractor on a flatbed trailer and chained that down and headed down the highway, you don't know what a job it is, but it's a job. I got this tractor on a trailer, got it chained down, and I drive it 40 miles to the shop. I get over there the other side of Benton. They work on this thing. While it's there, I said, you know what? It's over here. Go ahead and service it while you got it in here. They got it all fixed. You're ready to go. Drove all the way back over there, picked it up, get it home. It won't start to get off the trailer. I drive it back over there. Oh, yeah, we forgot to bleed the lines. Sorry about that. We got to get the air out of these diesel lines. So they do all that, drive it back here. It starts, back it off the trailer. I go out the next morning to start it. It won't start. Now, if you've ever tried to load a tractor up on a trailer with it not running, you got a job. I'm talking about sweating. My eyeballs were sweating by the time I got that thing winched up there, up on that trailer, got it chained down, drove it back over there. They're so sorry. They work on it again. You're not ever going to have any more problems with this. We got this fixed. I drive it back over here, and it won't start on the trailer to drive off. Now, this is about 10 minutes before closing time. I call and I say, y'all just wait, don't close. I'm driving back over. It's an hour one way. I head back over there. No, it gets worse. My fourth trip over there, and I blow a tire out on this trailer. Right down here on Highway 5. Have you ever jacked up a trailer with a tractor on it? I'm under that thing, jacking that thing up with all my might. And the fun part is I'm trying to keep my legs from getting run over laying out there in the highway. Jacking that thing up, jacking that up. I've never been so hot. I've never been so greasy. Jacking it up, and it rains. 2 hours later, I get the spare on that tractor, on that trailer. I'll back up to look at it, and it's got a big old bubble on the side of that spare. I'm 10 miles back from home, and I'm 30 miles from the dealership. I just turned and came back home. Let me just tell you something. Bad day. What makes it a bad day is I've been preparing to preach this message. And words were coming to me that shouldn't be coming to me as a pastor of a church. Hey, we're just here talking among family, okay? We'll just tell it like it is. You know, you can't think those. You are a pastor. And I keep thinking, refuse to be disappointed. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Those guys over there were not mean. They didn't do that intentionally. I get it back over there. They're very upset. One of their little workers put the wrong fuel filter in there. It's sucking air in the lines, getting air in a diesel line. Some of y'all know what problems that causes. They're so sorry. They're upset. Look, they didn't do that to me on purpose. Now, I can create a place for peace. I can create a place for joy. I can create a place for the presence of the Lord, or I can drive peace and joy and God way, way far away. And that's about where I was laying there in that highway, jacking that thing up. You know, we just got to learn to put our expectations in the right place. Somehow we've got to control what we expect to happen, but we've created an expectancy. I serve God. I follow God. I pay my tithe, and above my tithe, I give an offering. And so we expect that all of life should be just like we want it because I'm in church. See, all of life should be just like I want it. I expect life to go according to my plan because I read my daily devotion this morning. It's very interesting. We had a children's day here. Our children's leader rented all this blow up toys and all this stuff, and we'd spend all this my food and everything. Here comes a cloud, and it's about to start raining right before that event starts. You know, and I start getting mad at God. How could it rain at this children's thing? And I remember my prayer that morning. God, I need some rain for my hay crop. I'm asking it to rain on my hay. We've just cut hay. I just put it up. A rain right now would cause that to shoot up. I could get a third cutting. And I started thinking about, within 2 hours of me praying for God to bless me with some rain and for it to rain on my hay, I'm mad at God because it's about to rain on our children's deal. You know, we live with some real wrong expectations. Some real, I expect that any time I plan an outdoor activity, it's never going to rain on it. You know, I expect to buy this car and the battery will never quit. Although they're only guaranteed for 2 to 3 years, all batteries. But this battery will never quit. You know, I expect to drive this car and the tires will never wear out or go flat. I expect to buy this car and it starts every single time I get in it. You know, I expect to buy this puppy and he's never going to go on the carpet. He's always going to go out in the yard. I expect this puppy will never chew up any furniture in the house. If I've got an old pair of tennis shoes and a high-dollar pair of ostrich skin boots, I can tell you what one the puppy's going to chew up. You know, when life happens, we're jerked up. When life happens, we get jerked up. You know, I expect to get married and have kids. My kids will never have any physical problems to have to work through. My kids will never have learning difficulties that we're going to have to navigate through. My kids will never need a new pair of shoes. The shoes I buy them will last their whole life. My kids will have perfect teeth. They'll never have to have braces. You know, my kids will never do anything wrong at school where they got to call me in the middle of the day and I've got to drive down there to school. See, I'm a Christian. I go to church, so life is going to be smooth and easy for me. I'll never have a problem. I often wish this verse was not in the Bible. I wish it so much that I try not to read it. I know right where it is, and so when I'm reading, I try to skip over, or I go get coffee and come back and take up just below 1 Peter 1:6. Count it all joy, even though you must endure many trials. Another translation says, think it not a strange thing that you go through hard times. You know, we so ignore those verses in the Bible. I can tell you, if you go to a place where they sell Jesus t-shirts, this verse won't be printed on one of them. We create a life for the Christian to live with no trouble, no problems, nothing to ever go against anything we want, and we overlook, think it not a strange thing, when you go through hard times. Troubles come, hard times come, we get disappointed. We're disappointed with our church because of the sermon the preacher preached. We get disappointed with the music. We get disappointed with the we get disappointed in our marriage. We get disappointed with our kids. We get disappointed with God. I'm talking today about the fact that we're going to have to refuse disappointment. Think it not a strange thing when you go through hard times in your marriage, with your kids, with your money, with your health, with your relationship, with my tractor. When I bought that tractor, I should have thought one day I'm going to be jacking it on a trailer and hauling it to the shop. That's what you do when you buy tractors. You haul them to the shop to get them worked on. You got to refuse disappointment. You got to refuse disappointment. Life lived in a fallen world with imperfect people. We refuse disappointment by not expecting a perfect life. You know, the fact is, I got a great life. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. We're going to have to get our thinking right about life. The era in history that we're in right now is especially difficult. It's a fertile ground for disappointment. because we are in a sound bite era in history. We are in what they call a snap, a sound bite. You don't get a long, drawn-out story. You get a little sound bite of the story. We're in a sound bite era. And very few people watch a two-hour speech that the president gives. But immediately, a half of one sentence is jerked out, and that's what's all over the airways. See, it's a sound bite, a sound bite, a sound bite. And we get opinions and we make decisions based on sound bites, not on the two-hour speech. We don't watch a two-hour police video of the chase and the fight and all that took place. We pull out a 15-second scene and we make a decision about all police all over the nation based on a 15-second sound bite out of that chase. We don't see what that police went through with that guy for 2 hours before them. We got a 15-second sound bite that we make decisions on. We're coming up with wrong expectations because, church, life is not a sound bite. Life is not a sound bite. I'm laying on the side of the road, jacking up a trailer with a tractor on it, trying to keep my legs from being run over on the highway. That is a sound bite out of my life. You understand? That is a moment. That is a sound bite out of my life, out of my week, out of my whole day. That was a sound bite out of my whole day. The fact is, I have a great life. I have a tractor. It is paid for. I own the tractor. I have a pasture to mow with that tractor. I've got hay that needs to be baled. I've got cows to feed. I own all these cows. I got cows to feed. Those cows are going to make me money. I've got the health to climb under there and jack this trailer up. I got the physical strength still in my arms to jack that thing up and to get that spare tire off. I just started thinking, God, thank you. Thank you that I'm still able to climb under this trailer and the strength is in my arms enough to jack this thing up. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. See, we're making decisions about life based on a sound bite, on a quick moment in your day. We're living disappointed. We're living unhappy based on one scene of our life. And I want to tell you today, the movie of your life is more than one scene. I've seen 15-second clips or scenes from a movie advertisement, and I've gone to see the movie and was very disappointed. That wasn't what they led me to think at all. That 15-second clip looked so fun. It looked so good. It was the most boring thing I ever sat through. See, you're making decisions based on a 15-second movie clip, and you can't see one scene of a movie and make a decision of whether it is good or whether it's bad. And you can't see one scene of your life and make a decision about your life, whether it's a good day or a bad day. Or you're going to live disappointed. I'm talking to us today about refusing to be disappointed. Yesterday, you're in the middle of a very difficult situation. Don't be disappointed. Just refuse to be. It's one scene of your life. We all know Romans 8:28. We love this verse. God works all things out for the good of those who love God. How many's heard that verse? I love that verse. Or do you? If God works all things out for good, then clearly all things are not good. Have you ever thought about that? Whenever you're shouting, I love that verse. Well, before you love that verse, do you realize that all things are not, evidently, all things in your life are not good? All things in your life are not good. They don't go good. There are things in your life that are just downright horrible, that are downright bad. Now, thank Him, He comes in and works them for my good, but in the middle of it, they ain't so good. If you have to wait for everything to be all good before you have peace and joy, you're in trouble. you'll live disappointed. If you have to wait till everything is all good for you to praise the Lord, you're going to live disappointed in life. If you got to wait till everything is all good for you to have a happy day, then you're not going to have any happy days. You're going to live your life disappointed. You refuse disappointment when you realize your life is not this one scene. My life is not this one soundbite. My life is not just this one clip that I'm in right now. I refuse disappointment because I know there's more to my movie than the one scene I'm in. Say it with me. There's more to my life than this one scene. Come on, say it again. There's more to my life than this one scene. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were traveling. Some of you have read about things that they did in their missionary journeys. Just miracle after miracle after miracle. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Follow with me. Verse 1, they go to Derbe and to Lystra. Verse 4 and 5, they're instructing believers and strengthening churches. Imagine Paul and Silas traveling across the country, instructing believers and strengthening churches. Man, what a thrill, what a power, seeing God move. Verse 6, the next thing they went to an area called Perga in Galatia. Verse 7, then they went to the boundaries of Mysia, loaded up and headed north to Troas. Verse 11, then they sailed from Troas to Samothrace and Philippi, preaching powerfully at churches, seeing miracles everywhere they went. My goodness, in verse 9, Paul has a vision. I mean, a vision from God. Are you kidding me? Paul has a vision from God. You talk about moving in miracles, signs, and wonders. Next, we get to verse 13. He's teaching some women at a prayer meeting, leads them to the Lord, and baptizes them. Then in verse 16, a slave girl who was a fortune teller making money for her masters, Paul casts a demon out of her and shatters the wealth that her masters are making off of her. Now the whole city is in an uproar. A mob forms, strips Paul and Silas and beats them and throws them in prison. And right here is where we lose it. Life couldn't be better for you. Man, things are happening. You're on a roll. Your business is going good. Life is good. Your health is good. I mean, life couldn't be better for you. I'm talking about just one sentence after the next. Great things, great things, great things happen. Well, had one scene here that's not real good. Not many of us like to get our clothes torn off of us and get beaten and then thrown in the prison. And right here is where we lose it. God, you told me. God, you promised me. God, I can't even believe your word because your word says that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Now I've been beaten. I'm put in prison. God, your word isn't true. I don't even know if I can trust you. I don't even think I believe in God. I think I'm an agnostic. Well, I think personally maybe I'm an atheist because I can't believe good God would allow something. God, where were you when those mobs began to form and came out here and said, mad, bitter, turn your back on God, quit church, all because of one scene in your movie. One scene in your movie. Let me tell you something about Paul and Silas. They refused disappointment. They refused disappointment. They knew this was not their whole life. They knew this was only one scene in their life. They knew this is only a soundbite right here. Verse 25. At about midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns. They refused disappointment. They refused to be disappointed. How did they do that? They didn't have the wrong expectations of God. They didn't have the wrong expectations of God. When you cast a demon out of a slave girl that was making her master's money, they're not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy. That was no surprise to Paul and Silas. They didn't have wrong expectations in this deal. They know trials are coming, hard times, difficult times. This is going to be a tough time that we're about to go through. Paul and Silas in stocks in jail. God, I expected you not to let something like this happen. How could you, God? I'll never serve a God who allows his people to be beaten No. Paul and Silas didn't have wrong expectations. People are not perfect. People are fickle. They praising Jesus one minute with palm branches, the next minute hollering, crucifying. That's just people coming. I mean, that's just the way it is. I expect when I lead some slave girl to the Lord, cast demons out of her life, her owners aren't going to be happy. Right now we're in jail. I'm not disappointed. I believe we'll just sing a little while. Now, watch this next scene. Say that with me. Watch this next scene. Come on, say it again. Watch this next scene. Watch this next scene. Watch. I was so glad I was preparing this message because laying under that trailer, I kept saying, you watch this next scene. Just pull your car over and watch this. Watch this next scene of my life. Watch what's about to happen for me. Watch what God's about to do for me. See, you just need to watch this next scene of my life. They're in stocks, in prison, backs bleeding. Watch this next scene, verse 26. Suddenly, a massive earthquake, prison doors fly open, prison chains fall off. Verse 30, the jailer asking, how can I be saved? Verse 33, the jailer's saved. Now he's washing their wounds. He gets baptized. I like verse 34. The next scene, they're all over at the jailer's house and he's grilling out for them. Verse 34, come on. He's got his wife. They got the hamburgers out in the backyard and they're grilling out. Got all of his best friends over. Aren't you glad Paul and Silas refused to be disappointed? Aren't you glad Paul and Silas refused to get mad at God and question God and turn their back on God? Aren't you glad that they refused to live their life based on one scene, on one clip of the movie? Today, for some of you right here, for some of you joining our podcast, for some of you right now that are watching us live on YouTube or on a video right now, some of you watching us live right now, you may be locked up in a situation. You may be chained into a situation that you can't get loose from. My message today is refuse disappointment. Refuse disappointment. How do I do that? Tim, how do I refuse disappointment? I'm locked into this situation. I'm in a bad deal right now. I'm just telling you, you don't allow one scene of the movie of your life to create wrong expectancies for you. Don't allow one scene of that to create a wrong expectancy for you. This is just one scene. As bad as what you're in right now, as bad as the difficulty you may be facing right now, it's just one scene. It's just one scene. Your movie's not over, and you have no idea what God is about to do. All I'm telling you is just refuse to be disappointed. Live happy, live blessed, and daily live in the presence of the Lord. Stand with me. Come on, everybody in here. Say it with me. I refuse to live my life disappointed. I refuse to live my life disappointed. My life is made up of more than one scene. My life is in God's hands. Come on, let's trust God this morning. Let's turn our life over to the Lord. Father God, we turn our life over to you. We ask you to fill our life with your power and your presence. Lord, help us with our bad attitude. Help us with our wrong thoughts. Help us, Lord, with our negative thoughts. Help us, God. Help us as we take down those strongholds, as we take our thoughts captive. Help us, God. In you, we live and move and have our being. Today, Lord, I refuse to be disappointed in life. I refuse to be disappointed in you. And I'll be everything that you called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.